I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, Megan, before we get started on anything Bravo related, I want to talk about something Bravo adjacent.
Okay.
Did you watch Kim Kardashian on SNL?
Okay. I am such a bad Kim Kardashian fan because I haven't. But in my defense, it's because I was upstate in an Airbnb that's like this really cool treehouse, and there was zero service.
Okay, fair.
So I couldn't, even if I wanted to, but I do need to catch up on it. I hear she was great.
Okay, so I didn't watch the full episode, but I did see the opening monologue. And when I tell you, she left nobody alone. Like, it was absolutely perfect. There is a reason why Saturday Night Live has so many Emmys, and it's the writing. And they just worked with her in this brilliant way. She dragged everyone you can imagine.
Like who?
Her whole family. I mean, Chris, her sisters, Kanye. It's like she absolutely committed and went for it. And I was like, good for her.
Good for her. Love her.
I know. So you'll have to tell me what you think after.
Okay.
After you watch it.
Okay. Other actual like Bravo news, but also Bravo adjacent. Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip trailer dropped. I mean, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. And I think it delivered on every single level.
Incredible. Why don't we play the audio just in case anyone has missed it?
Party now. I'm losing my foil.
Carissa, did you?
Bite into the ball.
I was sucking the ball.
You sucked that ball.
Yes,
no.
I did. Look at this ass.
I'm going to go have bone sex. Oh my God, this thing right.
Chasing him. She peed her pants.
My God. Oh my God,
they turn real fast around these cameras.
Hi, girls.
We call her the Ramona coaster because she is all over the place.
Let's just get to know each other.
Do you want to be a friend to anyone?
She was like, I'm not signing this paper if you cast my brother and my sister.
No. I was a little irritated.
By me?
You kind of kicked it off.
Ramona's not my friend. You're my friend. Too.
So act like you.
I don't give a f-. You're not a girl's girl. Why would you say that?
You are so self-absorbed. It's crazy.
How f- you.
What you're not going to do is say f- you to me.
I wrote when I can't buy a book.
I'm ready to read or get ready.
I thought my friends in Beverly Hills were dramatic.
Me? Is that how poor you are?
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep a receipt around these girls.
Teresa said she wasn't biting.
I said the same thing, but
Kyle, you licked enough balls last night. Let's have someone else win.
Okay, I mean, which part of it are you most excited for? Is it seeing all these women together in one place? Is it seeing who's going to feud? Like, where do we begin?
I think there are two parts that I was really interested in. Kenya and Ramona going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Teresa and Melissa sort of revisiting their feud. Because it is interesting. Like, not everyone there has necessarily watched each other's seasons very closely. So the fact that they have to sort of go back and revisit why they had such issues in the beginning, which will probably cause new issues, I'm really excited for. Is that bad?
Yeah. And it seems to be that they're not ignoring the fact that they're all on Housewives. They are talking about things that are essentially breaking the fourth wall, you know, talking about how they joined the show and the cameras are here. You know, I hope they really lean into that because that's not always the way that Housewives go. You know, they kind of don't always peel back the curtain in such a way. But I think with this particular show, there's no way to get around it. There's no way other way to tell the story.
My one hope and dream for this season is because, like, I think it's so odd that Mauricio shows up.
Right.
And we know how Ramona feels about men being on girls trips and just crashing girls night in general. So I hope she drags Kyle for it.
That's true. I suspect she will.
You can stream Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Thursday, November 18th on Peacock.
Also, major news coming out of Bravo this past week. Megan King from Real Housewives of Orange County married Cuff Owens, who is President Joe Biden's nephew.
Which is just very interesting. So, yeah.
He and his wife, First Lady Dr. Jill Biden, attended the wedding. What's really crazy is this is less than a month after the two of them went Instagram official. So I don't know exactly the timeline of how long they were together before that, but things seem to be moving a little quickly.
We need some cameras back in Megan's life.
I know, right? Do you think that Cynthia Bailey felt a type of way knowing that Biden actually showed up to another Housewives wedding when she was expecting him to appear at her party, you know?
That was so good. Like, to be so let down by your own engagement party.
Sorry, Cynthia. Okay, so what are we recapping today?
Real Housewives of Potomac, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Plus, I have an interview with Real Housewives of Salt Lake City's Jenny Nguyen.
Sweet. Okay, Potomac? Oh, this is the longest day ever.
If you feel like it is, what do you think G is feeling?
I know. I mean, listen, he rallied, okay?
He really did.
I'm proud
of
him.
He just needed a quick cat nap.
Don't we all at this age?
I thought it was really interesting because, you know, we're getting the aftermath of the feud with Candace and Mia, like the salad tossing. And it was the first time that we've really seen Mia get emotional. You know, I feel like she's really held it together up to this point. But then it was sort of like she reached her breaking point. And instead of anger, it was like the tears came. And I just felt like her concern is so valid that her mom is going to see these comments when they air and that might cause her mom to relapse. And we know it's valid because Whitney Rose on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City sort of said at the reunion, you know, that like her dad seeing everything air sort of caused him to disappear.
That's very true. I mean, it comes down to Mia. She's thinking ahead about the consequences of Candace's words. And this is something that Candace needs to start doing because she is impossible to reason with when she escalates. She says so many things that she doesn't realize how hurtful they are, what the long-term consequences of her words can be for other people. And you're right, Mia got emotional thinking, oh my God, what is my mom going to think when she sees this? Mia's already brought her on the show and had really tough conversations with her. Her mother has already shared and revealed so much and been so vulnerable that you have to recognize how delicate that process is for someone who is in recovery. And Candace just doesn't have that, I guess, foresight, you know?
Right. I mean, she really genuinely thinks it is the same thing to talk about a music video as it is about someone's mom. And it's just, it's just not.
It was a bit of a stretch too when Candace was like, well, she may have, you know, trauma when it comes to her mom, but how does she know hearing being broke or low budget doesn't trigger me?
Right.
And it's like,
right.
That's a reach, Candace.
She's a little nonsensical when she's upset, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's just she doesn't seem to be able to take a step back in those moments.
And it was interesting to watch Chris with her because it really made me feel like this is his managing of her. It's not the music career. He's managing her emotions, you know?
Yeah, it was a little weird that they went outside. She's sitting on his lap. He's talking her down. I was like, oh man, this guy, he just has the patience of someone who's almost so used to dealing with tantrums.
Right.
That he just knows exactly what he needs to do and say to level her out. And he takes that time. And I don't know. I feel bad for him, but I'm also like, this is what he's agreed to. So it must be something that he is just, he loves her so much. He sees what she can be, what her potential is, and he's willing to talk her through that. And
right.
That's a good man.
I will say my absolute favorite part of this episode was that moment between Chris and Ashley in the kitchen, because yeah. It's so interesting how, you know, his wife hates Ashley. Ashley hates his wife, but he is able to take a step back and be like, you know what? I still follow you on Instagram and I think your family's beautiful and motherhood looks really good on you. It was just very sweet to me, I thought.
Ashley, I haven't seen you since Karen's love party. I know you and Candace don't always get along and Michael and I aren't always on the same page, but I did want to say congratulations on baby number two.
Thank you very much. That's very nice.
Look,
very...
I still follow you on the Instagram and stuff. Motherhood on you looks real, real good.
I am really surprised that Candace allows him to follow Ashley on Instagram. I wonder if she knew that.
Well, it made me think, what is she going to say when she watches that conversation air? Is right. She going to be like, yeah, like, you know, he's sweet. He's allowed to, you know, not allowed to, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just very interesting. And it's also interesting because obviously Ashley's husband is not a fan of Chris and vice versa. So I don't know. It's just this, it is this odd thing where it's like, regardless of how you feel about each other, you're all in this weird world called the Real Housewives of Potomac, you know,
right,
and
very
you all
connected.
Have something, yes, very much connected by that.
Maybe Candace also allows Chris to follow Ashley so he can sort of like spy a little bit, you know, keep an eye on the things she's saying and doing in case they relate to Candace. Just a thought.
Yeah. I just loved when, you know, so Ashley didn't. I wish she'd been a little bit more accepting of that moment. And instead she was kind of like, that's very nice of you. Your wife, she called me wide body. Yeah. And then Chris goes, yeah, she uses a lot of adjectives.
Again, he knows his wife. He knows what she does and how she behaves, but he's there to be the positive in her life,
right,
and others, you know.
You know, your wife called me wide, and I didn't really appreciate that comment. So
she uses a lot of adjectives.
Well, Giselle and Robin show up, which I'm happy about, because I do love when we get a full cast moment. Robin doesn't seem too thrilled. She's on her period. She doesn't like the room that they're in. She's looking at hotels. She's not feeling it. Giselle, on the other hand, she has a broken foot, and from your perspective, as the hostess, should Wendy remedy this situation for Giselle? Find her a different room, make sure that she is a little bit more comfortable given her injury, or do you think this is maybe karma?
I'm going to start by saying I sort of wish Robin and Giselle had just sat this trip out, you know, because they didn't come at the beginning. They're, you know, I'd be fine with Giselle coming without a boyfriend or a husband or anything. But, you know, it'd be nice if Robin had brought one. But also just the complaining, and it's just like, why are you here? You know, GVO.
Right.
I just wish they'd come either with that sort of attitude or had just stayed home.
Or the next day, because again, this is the longest day ever. And in the preview last week, I had assumed they came the following day and they were going to miss whatever the, you know, adventure was that night. But you're right. They came late. They missed the GVO memo in the very beginning. They missed the whole salad toss situation. So I see what you mean.
But I don't know. I don't know that Wendy really owes them anything, like especially Giselle, you know?
I think if Giselle was not injured, I would agree, but she's got a broken foot. She can't be going up and down the stairs, especially if it's to get to a bathroom or something. And it seemed like at dinner, Chris was almost going to negotiate, well, if this is about a place to sleep, we could maybe, and, you know, that got shut down pretty quickly. But, you know, she's injured, okay? She's got a bad foot.
Right.
But yeah, I get what you mean. They came in and they sort of had a little stank face.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Well, so we get to the dinner at the end. And just when you feel like things are sort of okay, you know, we already had the big fight, but we're just going to table everything. It does not turn out that way.
Messy, messy Ashley.
Right. Because what did she say?
She pretty much just took the opportunity to completely revisit what had happened earlier in the day. She had the time. She took the time to do it. It is what we appreciate about Ashley,
right?
I think, is that she is always willing to go there, whether she was there to witness it, whether she was not. I don't know if her timing was ideal, maybe closer to the end of dinner, once they got back to the house, have that conversation on the bus ride home. So maybe her timing wasn't perfect, but I think she wanted to push Candace's buttons because she knows how easy it is to do that.
Right. Because, I mean, really what the argument ended up being was about the Ashley and Candace stuff, you know?
Exactly. It got turned around into, well, last year,
right,
and completely shifted gears into their tension with each other as opposed to whatever went down with Mia earlier in the day.
Yikes. I do feel, though, what Ashley said is really correct. And I think that you and I have sort of hinted at that like last week too, is just that it is so clear in the way that Candace acted in the kitchen with the salad and the, you started something, so you need to finish it, that she learned nothing from last season with Monique.
Well, exactly. And here's the interesting part to me. And it mostly started to show during an interview moment that Giselle had at the very end of the episode. And it stemmed from the conversation that Giselle, Robin, and Ashley were having after Candace went to check on Chris. And essentially, Giselle and Robin were acknowledging Candace's role in what happened last season.
Right, which we really have not gotten before. Giselle was always so hard on Monique, and I feel like never put anything on Candace.
Well, right. And I don't understand where that energy for accountability was back then.
Right.
And even when Robin and Giselle first show up and are sitting down in that tiny little room, it's kind of like a little orphanage, right? There's just like this strange room. They're up there and they are really talking to Candace and showing her, no, you can't say that kind of stuff. And they're trying to hold her accountable in that moment. And Giselle and Robin were being very reasonable and rational with her, but they were holding her accountable. And we didn't really see as much of that last year with the Monique thing. So I guess maybe they've learned from what happened then, but don't think that Candace has. But you know, it's almost like when you hear Garcelle asking Rinna, are you going to apologize to Denise? I would like to see an apology to Denise. Will anyone ask that of Giselle and Robin to Monique? I don't know. You know, is it worth? No, I mean, I don't think it would ever happen. But it seems that, like you said, they've had time to reflect on it. And they see that maybe Candace had a bigger role in what happened than they originally thought.
Right.
I also hope they just take Candace aside and say these things to her, because right now it's only Chris who is talking her down, who is trying to calm her, show her.
So uncomfortable, you know? Watching him trying to be like, let's go outside, and her being like, no, like, oh, it was so, I can't imagine having to sit there and witness that, you know?
I know. And I just think Giselle and Robin should take this opportunity to go out for lunch, talk to Candace, be like, what's the real problem? Now that you know Mia's full story, do you recognize how what you said might have triggered her? And how can we all work through this and move forward? Because in those group settings, Candace is quick to pop off. And you know, it's just, that's never going to get anybody anywhere. We need her in a safe environment with people that she trusts, whose opinions she values. And right now, I think that's really Giselle and Robin. It's not going to be Karen, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
Salt Lake?
Yep.
I'm cracking up at your first note.
Oh, I just loved how, you know, Lisa's husband, God bless him, because he is like human Xanax. Like he just is so calm, you know, and he has this calming effect. And like Lisa is a little bit more New York, I would say. Like
a little more manic. Yeah.
Right. And so, but it was so funny when he was in his interview, because he had said, you should really try with Whitney. I think you guys should go out. You should try to like get it together. And the producer's like, do you really think that's like a good idea? And he's like, I mean, just obviously I like hanging out with Justin.
Do you really think Lisa and Whitney can make it work between them?
You know, obviously I like hanging out with Justin, so I'm hoping for the best. I hope they can get to know each other better and maybe smooth out some of the wrinkles.
Right. I mean, this is just another example of how the house husbands often suffer for the drama that the women are going through. And we see it on Potomac, just like what we were talking about before. All the husbands are getting along. Everyone likes each other, is happy, wants to hang out. But when there's drama between the women, that puts those men in an awkward position.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of Lisa and all of the drama that went down last week, number one, I was surprised we didn't get any Angie in this episode because she was thrown at us last week and such a huge part of the story in last week's episode. And then she's just gone. She was just gone. But during the course of the week last week, I saw allegedly, the catering company had leaked some texts, the actual ones that they sent through to Angie. And essentially, Lisa had nothing to do with it. It really was...
So like Angie lied about what was said in the text?
She definitely turned some words around to fit a narrative that she decided to bring on the show. From what these alleged texts say. Now, who's to say? Because you know how these things go. These screenshots, they're always very blurry. You're like, has this been edited? I'm not really sure if this is legit. And, you know, who's to say if any of it is true? But... you know, I had a theory last week that maybe her assistant was involved and trying to pull some strings behind the scenes. So I don't think any of that is true. At the end of the day, I think Lisa really had nothing to do with the catering company not showing up. But not a lot of that gets talked about in this episode. And it sort of moves into just Lisa and Whitney finally taking some time to sit down and talk through their issues.
Yeah. Over pie and gin. Which
over
is,
pie and gin.
I thought it was funny that Lisa's like, you know, when I think of gin, I think of new beginnings. Like, is that a thing? I don't know. Heard that.
I mean, I like what she said about you can't have new beginnings without the word gin, because that's true. But I don't know if it represents that. You know, maybe somewhere it does, but I've never heard it.
Do you like gin? I hope you like gin.
Yeah, I love gin.
You know, when I think of gin, I think of new beginnings.
Can we talk, though, about the Mary going over to Whitney's house and that conversation she had in front of Whitney's children? Well, with Whitney's children.
Yep, two Whitney's children.
That was so awkward. Like, Mary talking about this insanely horrific car crash involving, you know, a member of her congregation, and like the daughter looking at her wide-eyed and being like, is she alive? And Mary goes, no, but I'm glad to be here, and then starts dancing. It was what?
One of the members in our church, like one of their daughter, like had a crash.
When?
Last night. And she was ejected from the sunroof and fell down into a neighborhood, 30 feet, drop off the freeway.
Is she still alive?
No. I'm excited to be here.
She just has no regard for social cues and things that are appropriate. You know, I mean, we saw it last season, the very first time we met her, talking about Jen's aunt smelling like hospital. You know, it's just zero filter, no regard for sensitivities for people. And it's one of those things where it's a personality trait that on certain people, it would turn me off. But for some reason, I am oddly charmed by this weirdness that she brings to the show, that this quirk that does walk a line of, you know, I don't know, just like really insensitive.
It really made me want to see what she's like, was like as a mom to a child. You know, we only see her now with her son who's grown, but I just can't imagine her being a mom to a small child, just in the way that she interacted with those kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. She was not picking up that these kids were a little scared of this story and kind of...
And are probably now traumatized.
Right? Well, at least at the end of it, she was like, wear your seatbelt.
Oh my God.
You know, the kids are going to like make it a point to do that, as they should.
I wanted to ask you, since you lived in LA for a bit, was USCB like a popular college?
UCSB.
UCSB.
UCSB, it was. I mean, being in LA, the popular schools are UCLA and then USC.
Yes.
Those are the big ones.
Well, I've heard of and those. Yeah.
Everyone kind of fights over which one is cooler and better. And there's, you know, sort of that thing going on in LA. But from what I know about UCSB, I did have a friend who went there. It's a great school. It is a party school. So I am actually really happy that Ashley is going there. And I think Heather probably is too, because we know Heather has been so supportive of her daughter getting out of Salt Lake, out of Utah, away from this Mormon culture and just getting to school and being able to, you know, flash her boobs and get drunk. And I think she's found the perfect place to do that.
I just love that conversation between Heather and Meredith about, you know, sex and how you talk about it with your kids and stuff. And, you know, it's just, it was interesting to hear how Heather's stance on it has really changed, you know, and she used to be horrified at the thought that her kids might have sex before marriage. And now she's horrified at the thought that they wouldn't, you know, but also just this idea that like, she has no idea how to talk to her daughters about it. I just found it so real, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, remember last season of Jersey, we saw Melissa try to have that conversation with Antonia, and it was so awkward and uncomfortable. It just, you know, those conversations are always going to be difficult, but they have to be had. And we've already seen Heather have a lot of tough conversations with her daughters on the show about her divorce, leaving the Mormon church, the direction they want to go with their lives. There is something, though, about sex in particular that just is a little bit more difficult to navigate, especially with someone like Heather, who grew up with this belief and this idea that, you know, abstinence is the only way. And that's just not realistic. And she just doesn't have the tools to have those conversations yet. So I hope Meredith helped her a little bit with that. But, you know, like you said, we've seen so much growth from Heather just in the one season that we've known her. And I really think being on a show, being a public figure, having people reach out to her on social media and, you know, understand where she's coming from and probably give her tips on how to go forward as, you know, a mom leaving the Mormon church. Like, it is really, really amazing to see. Well, I want to talk about Meredith and her redefining social distancing in this awkward move where she joins Brooks at this, you know, lunch with Jen and then like sits at the bar.
That's just literally lurks. Like 1 foot away.
I mean, so close. You know, she probably heard every bit of their conversation, even though she was clearly on her phone trying to be like, I'm not listening.
But like also looking over once in a while.
Right.
You know?
Just like, can I pop over? Like, when's the good time? All of that being said, what did you think of the conversation between Jen and Brooks?
I loved, okay, first of all, I thought the way Brooks handled it was very impressive, you know, because he's talking about something that is insanely sensitive. And he was being so honest about it in terms of, I have, you know, I'm on a journey of self-exploration. And like, these are things I haven't talked about, which I thought was just very brave of him. You know, yeah. We've sort of heard his mom talk about that, but to hear him say it to Jen was really powerful, you know, in that this is something I'm going through, and you sort of making it seem as though you know, I'm gay when I haven't even said that, you know, is not okay. And like the way you hurt me. And even though I'm not sure I totally believe Jen in that she says she wasn't trying to imply Brooks was gay, I felt like at least she sounded insanely sincere in her apology and the fact that she took 100% accountability. She's like, even though it was some, you know, someone on my team, I'm responsible for that. And I was like, okay, I felt really good about that apology.
So I just told him, you know, I have to take responsibility. It's my team. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry for that too.
Yeah. I mean, by perception, it looks like it was you on social media. Like, I had no clue it was someone on your team doing it. I don't even know how to articulate the pain that I went through because of everything.
So, you know, after the conversation is all said and done, I'm really curious to see, you know, what comes next for Brooks, but also just a reminder that there is a lot of empowerment in coming out, but there is also a lot of, you know, expectation nowadays. And I don't think everybody necessarily needs to share parts of their personal life that they're not ready to. And maybe we'll never hear from Brooks about his sexuality, but maybe we don't need to.
Right.
That doesn't always have to be a factor in who a person is and how they present themselves, especially in the public eye.
Absolutely.
Okay, wait, circling back real quick to the conversation that Lisa has with Whitney. Watching the whole conversation, it really reminded me that Lisa seems to approach all of her relationships, not just her friendships, but even sometimes her relationship with her husband, her kids, almost like a business that she's investing in. You know, there's almost terms that she negotiates. She's willing to listen and express herself, but also find this common ground, almost like she's making a deal. And I kind of like that, you know, it is.
Yeah, I do too. I was going to say, I feel like there's a lack of nurturing about her personality, but I don't think that's a bad thing,
right?
You know?
Right. I don't think it's representative of how she feels about people. We know she has deep love for Meredith. We know she has such a connection to Jen. She really does genuinely care about people. And like she even says, she didn't think that she and Whitney were not friends. She might have said some things about Whitney and done some shady things, but you know how she felt by the end of last reunion. She really thought that, you know, Whitney and Heather, bad weather, spin the truth. She felt like they were, I don't know, coming at her unnecessarily in this whirlwind way. And now I think
it just makes me laugh because that was just such a funny thing to say.
Right. It was like a haiku. It also, I have to say, I love Whitney. I really do. But she seems to be a little, I don't want to say obsessed with Lisa, but it's sort of the point that Jenny brings up where it's like, it seems like you do want Lisa to be your friend. You are looking for her approval. And maybe.
Well, Mary said something super insightful. It was like, Whitney needs Lisa's validation.
Right. And that is maybe the type of person that Lisa is. You know, when you're around her, you just want her to accept you. And maybe Whitney is struggling with that a little bit, especially because of how last season started and she felt judged by her because there was, right, wasn't there a comment about the stripper pole allegedly in the basement and all
right.
that? So maybe Whitney has just felt judged from the beginning and is still working through that to this day, but Lisa is just like fully past it and isn't even really thinking about it.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, next time we go out, I think we should go for pie and gin.
Okay. I also found the conversation between Whitney and Jenny really interesting in how Jenny was talking about the fact that her husband wants more kids and really spelling it out that like she cannot. She had her tubes tied. Her age, and even if she were to use a surrogate or something like that, how that's just not what she wants anymore. And so you'll hear in my interview with Jenny, we really go into that subject and just how open she was, I feel, for her first season, I mean, it's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, I agree. I was wondering during this lunch if Jenny was going to bring up what she's been through to Whitney, because I know we as viewers know it and heard it directly from her. But at this time, I don't think anyone else in the cast, maybe Lisa, because they're already friends, I don't think anybody else really knows what Jenny has gone through. So once Whitney learns that, it's going to give the full context as to why Jenny's like, no, no, I'm done with kids.
Right. So I got the chance to talk to Jenny Nguyen from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, what it's like to watch her first season unfold, how it is that she and her husband were able to be so vulnerable and open, and the one thing that she is still shocked her husband brought up to her on camera. Here's that interview. So Jenny, welcome to the Bravo Daily Dish podcast, your first time.
Yes, I'm excited.
You know, here's my first question is few people get to experience what it is to be a real housewife. And I want you to tell me what it's like that, how right now people are watching your life unfold on their TVs.
You know, it's very interesting because I'm very private, and because of my culture, we don't really discuss or talk about our family dynamic. So this is very new and different, and it's something I need to get used to and trying to open up. But I think overall, it gives me a different mindset that I could talk about this, discuss this to the public, because I know a lot of people, they are experiencing the same situation I'm going through, and I'm reaching out and let them know it's okay to talk about it, it's okay to deal with it. And for me to understand that when I talk about it, I'm actually dealing with it and trying to cope as well.
It is so surprising to me that you say that you're a private person and that it was hard for you, because I was just interviewing Shiana Mix, who's the executive in charge of the show. And we were both saying like how impressive it is, how much you and your husband really just let it all hang out for your first season. And, you know, there's so many housewives that never are able to really do that. And I wanted to know how that happened. I mean, you know, that it really is impressive, I feel.
So for us, it was a challenge. We talked about it. We discussed it together regarding how much we want to share. And for me, it was, I went through a lot during my pregnancy and our marriage. And I don't talk about it with my family either. My family, they don't know much about my life. We really don't discuss this. He was very uncomfortable, but yet very supportive. My children still are not informed about a lot of situations we discuss on the Real Housewives. They don't know about, you know, our situation with him wanting another wife. We never talked about that with our kids. We kind of talked to them that, you know, maybe we should have more kids or we shouldn't. We kind of, you know, express that feeling. And then it's just a brief conversation. So for us, this was very hard, but I felt that it's something I should do because I want people to relate. I want them to understand. I don't want them to just hide their feeling for that, what they're going through and dealing with on their own. I'm here to also support them. And I know that they are there to support me.
Yeah. Did you ever end up talking to your kids about it, knowing that it was going to air?
They know that when I'm on The Real Housewives, they know that we're very open and that it will air. They are not allowed to watch.
Oh.
At all. My kids, they don't watch the show, but they know we talked about it, we discuss it, and we told them it's going to be air. So if your friend talk about it, just say, you know what, that's my mom and dad situation. You don't need to discuss with them further regarding the show.
Right. Well, speaking of your kids, did you have any idea your daughter was such a star?
No, I mean, my daughter is like that every day, you know, so you see her every day behaving the same way she did on TV. And so for me, it's not something new. She is a dynamic little girl. She's very smart, very determined, very witty. And so everywhere we go, people just love her. They love all of our kids. So especially her, because yeah. She's an extrovert.
Right.
She'll go up to you, hug you, even though she doesn't know you. And she would just compliment you if she thinks you're beautiful. She's like, you're so pretty. I love your whatever they're wearing. So she is an extrovert. And I don't know where she got that.
Well, my co-host Eric and I are absolutely obsessed with her. So every week we hope to see more of her on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Do you feel like at this point that talking about all the issues and being so open with your husband, do you feel like the show has helped or hurt your marriage? Or do you feel like it's too soon to say either way at this point?
So I think it's too soon to say whether they know much about us. It's only episode 5. They hardly know me and know my family, know a little bit about me and where I came from, how I got here and the struggle, but they don't know the whole story.
Right.
And I just think the audience needs to tune in to really get to know us a little bit more and our family more.
Right. Yeah. It has to be so weird and hard, though, to have strangers commenting on your relationship, you know, based on a few minutes of what they see.
Yeah. So, I mean, as human nature, we trying to, you know, give other people our input and our opinion and want to make sure that they are involved. And I like that the audience and the fans are involved because they care, you know, and a lot of times you get the negative because, you know, you cannot always have the positive, right? You cannot please everybody. If you're trying right. to, you're doing something wrong. So I totally understand they are engaging in my family dynamic. And I think it's a good thing because people are trying to get to understand and trying to know more. And that's okay. I'm there for you to understand and get to know me.
Yeah. You know, having filmed this, your first season, was there any moment during filming where you thought, oh my God, I should not have signed up to do this?
The moment when you will see on the next episode is when my husband brought up the sister wife.
Right.
That was a shocker. I never thought in a million years that he would bring that up on camera. Like, that's the first time I heard of it. And if you can understand, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally got up and left because I was so shocked. I, like, you could have discussed this with me at home when we were, you know, in our space, private, and then we can talk about it, how comfortable I am to talk about this on camera. But it was just outright like there. And that was the moment I felt like he should have just discussed this with me ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can't imagine how you must have felt, but I will say it's one of the things that's so great about being a Bravo fan is you do watch these extremely real moments unfold, you know, and bad for you, but I guess in a way good for us, like that we got to see a really authentic conversation happening.
I mean, literally, I was about to take one of the skis and smack him in my moment because it's like, dude, why now? Why here? And that was the moment I felt that I was blindsided.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of women watching that moment will want to take a ski and smack him. You came into the show knowing Lisa really well, obviously.
Yes.
Did seeing her and interacting with her in this context with the other Real Housewives, did it change your relationship with her at all?
No, Lisa is very real and authentic, and that's how she is. Pretty much when I hang out with her or with a group of friends, she is the way she is on camera, and she is a straightforward, straight shooter type of person. I know that there's certain verbiage or the way she carried herself can be misleading. But we are friends for 10 years. I don't see there's any harm, but it can rub other people the wrong way. And I totally understand their point of view. Because I know Lisa, it doesn't bother me or hurt me in any which way, because I know she has a great heart and she doesn't mean anything harmful to anyone. But it can portray differently with other housewives.
Right. They can sort of interpret it a different way.
Exactly.
Who from this group has surprised you the most, either in a good way or in a bad way?
I would say Mary surprised me the most, because I thought meeting Mary, she was outgoing. You know, she seems very nice, very friendly. She, you know, a lady of God. So she's very, should be very genuine, very, very loving. That's my expectation coming in to have an open mind of, oh, you know, Mary is the cool person. But getting to know her more is the total opposite. And there are things that, you know, we don't see eye to eye.
Yikes. That's a very nice way of saying it.
Thank you.
Have you started mentally preparing for the reunion? I know we're a ways away, but, you know, it is your first ever reunion that will come up.
I have not mentally prepared yet, because I haven't seen a lot of the episode yet. We're very new. I think I'll be more prepared when we're halfway and like, okay, I really need to meditate. You know, just have peace with myself. So I am able to, you know, have a conversation, or I don't know how I would react, because I'm a very vocal person and I'm trying to find that inner peace and not be so aggressive on the reunion. So I'm still working on it.
Good luck, because if anything can bring out an aggressive side, it's a reunion.
I know, I've seen the reunion from other franchise and I'm like, okay, I need to take all of this in and just be calm, be collected, you know, be able to communicate in a very non-threatened way.
Yeah. Had you ever watched Real Housewives before joining?
I watched, obviously, the first season of Salt Lake. I watched a little bit of Beverly Hills and I watched Dallas, but I've been watching Potomac because it's before Salt Lake. And I did watch some of the reunions. So I'm a little bit, you know, prepared, but not completely prepared.
That's amazing. Well, I really appreciate your time. And I hope I get to talk to you again this season after you've watched a few more episodes.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Beverly Hills Reunion Part 1?
Yes.
Dang.
Okay. I am really glad we started out with some Erica stuff, because it would have been cruel to make us wait till the fourth part.
I know. That's what I thought was going to happen. When you hear four parts, you're like, oh boy, what's going to happen in part 1? I'm going to sleep. Right.
But no, I thought it was really, you know, it was interesting to get into the marriage component of Erica and Tom, and Andy being like, yeah, I mean, I thought it was weird that he didn't read your book. I thought it was really weird he didn't come to see Chicago.
Yeah.
And I felt like what Erica said is true. It's like, it doesn't matter what your situation is, you're going to be somewhat protective of what is happening at home.
Yeah. And I always took it as, not that Tom wasn't interested in what Erica was doing or that he wasn't supportive of it, but it was almost like the book, Broadway, all of that stuff was just like this life that he provided for her. You know, that was her thing that she was doing over there. And now, looking at it through the lens of what we know now, it's just, it feels a lot darker than it was presented at the time, you know?
See, I mean, I always thought that was weird. Not that every marriage has to be the same, but there's something about not supporting your spouse. Like, you know, you not just verbally, but like showing up for them, you know?
Yeah. Not showing up to her debut on Broadway. It's one thing to be like, I'm coming to the closing night. Like, was he really coming to closing night? Or did Erica right. just was say that at the reunion?
Yeah, she was able to say.
Right. That is weird, because that is not to say that writing a book isn't pouring your heart and soul into something, but Broadway is blood, sweat, and tears. So it's just that, that is weird. That is a little weird.
And just, you know, the fact that we started out with Andy saying, you have not been charged with a crime, but if you are to look online, and Erica's like, yeah, you would think I have been.
Yeah.
And just to hear her say, like, why should I be fired? You know, we need to let things play out in the legal system, which, you know, I get. Like, it, you know, she has been condemned for something that even the courts aren't charging her with.
You have not been charged with a crime.
No.
Yet, if you look on social media,
you would think I had.
And you would see a lot of people saying she needs to be fired from the show. What's your reaction to that?
No.
No what?
Why
no
would why. I? Why should I be fired? Why are you presuming that I've done something? Why aren't we letting the legal process play out? You've heard one side and a lot of bullshit on that side. Give me a chance to defend myself. Watch me. I'm ready for the challenge. Watch me do it.
Yeah, I mean, she's been named in lawsuits, but she does not face any charges
criminal
herself
charges.
As Erica. Exactly. And the other thing is, she can't leave the show, right? She wouldn't get paid. And obviously, at this point, she needs this paycheck. And so it's almost a silly question, like, why wouldn't you just leave the show? And we kind of touched on it at one point during the season. Why didn't she just get up and leave during this dinner, that big explosion between her and Sutton at Kathy's? You know, she faced the music. She sat through the whole thing, but she also was in a position where she kind of had to. This was her job, and this was something she was really dependent on. In terms of getting fired, I kind of wish that Andy had answered that question, you know, as an executive producer, and maybe sharing a little bit more of the production standpoint as to
That's
why
a really
they
good point.
You yeah. know, he asked the question to Erica, and it's like, well, why would Erica sit here and say, yeah, I should have been fired from the show? I kind of wish Andy had said, well, here's why we decided to keep you, and maybe expose a little bit more of why they wanted to share the full story. It's like they kept Teresa on the show, you know, back in the day on Jersey. They actually waited to film until they were able to film with her once she got out of prison. So I would have loved to hear Andy's perspective on that
Although,
matter rather than just Erica's.
Maybe part of it is, I mean, all of this didn't come out till she'd already, the contracts had been signed. So really, maybe he can't answer that until there's a decision made for next season.
That's true.
If there yeah. is one, which right. let's be honest, how could there not be?
I mean, hello. We have a lot of follow-up questions, and we'll have a lot of follow-up questions even after this reunion, I think. So we need another season. Okay, so after we touch on the Erica stuff, we then move into all of the stuff with Garcelle, Dorit, Rinna. And I felt a real type of way watching this part of the reunion. I felt like Rinna was being really nasty in an unnecessary way, at least at first. And Dorit was talking so much that maybe I didn't quite follow what she was saying. I didn't think she was making a lot of sense, right?
I mean, I sort of got where she was coming from, just in terms of, look, Garcelle is not the only one who does it. I think Lisa Rinna is the biggest example of housewives who do it. But I think what Dorit is saying is, all season long, Dorit, you sort of made these quote unquote jokes at my expense. And I can't tell if you like me or not, because if you like me, that's not how someone behaves. Why? And, you know, you get into your confessional and you say these things that hurt my feelings and I'm over it. Like, what's the deal? So yeah. I got where she was coming from at that. But the fact that Lisa Rinna was, you know, jumping on and being like, yeah, yeah. And it's like, Lisa, come on, you do it the most.
Yeah, absolutely. It felt like Garcelle to me was being piled on unnecessarily. I think because your point is a lot of women do that in their confessionals. They say things that they're not saying to everybody else's face while they're filming. And, you know, it just felt really pointed at Garcelle in an unnecessary way. And she handled herself very well. And I think took a few moments to be like, yeah, you're right. I'm not really sure why I'm mad, or I don't really know why I did that. And made me laugh a few times, actually, in some of the things that she was saying. But I think what her point is at the end of the day is that the show has changed Lisa Rinna and who she is and how she treats her friendships. And that's the subtext of what Garcelle is trying to get to.
Right.
And it's the reason she doesn't trust her. It's more than just what happened with Denise. It's more than what just happened this past season. Garcelle has known her for 20 years. And in the time that Rinna has been on this show, I think she's starting to see a different side of her, or has noticed how much she has changed, and she doesn't trust that. And I think that's okay.
The other part of that, okay, I have a lot of thoughts on this part of the reunion. First of all, I felt like Erica was writing so hard for Lisa Rinna in a way that felt like payback for this season. Like, Rinna has been Erica's biggest supporter. Mm. And so now anything that was sort of like against Garcelle, Erica sort of chimed in on, you know, in a way that I felt like, all right, we get it. You're team Rinna, you know. The other thing is Garcelle bringing up the race part of it and saying, well, I heard, Lisa Rinna, that you were upset that I brought race up at all on the show.
Lisa not having my back too. And her saying, you know, Lisa's your friend and she's not helping you out at all.
Listen, if I'd up, or if I'd been mean to you, or if I'd done something, I'd understand it.
Someone told me that you said that I should have never brought race into this show, that this show is not that kind of show.
And then kind of was like, what's the big deal with me saying that? And I was like, Garcelle, you know the big deal about you saying that. Because even if it's completely unfounded, Lisa Rinna is now, her name is now associated with, maybe she doesn't like talking about race issues. And that's not a good look. Obviously.
Right. I know. I wish Garcelle had revealed a little bit more about that and when that message came through. Because did it happen after they were done filming, before they shot the reunion? Did it happen in real time? You know, she's obviously protecting her sources, and I respect that, because you don't want to blow up somebody else's spot. But the timing of it just seemed, I don't know, odd to only be bringing it up at the reunion unless she just got that message recently. I wish that had been something Garcelle had addressed during the season if she had that text while they were filming before, you know?
Also, it's just, you know, I live for a Beverly Hills reunion. And the one thing I have learned is you never tell Lisa Rinna to be quiet or to wait her turn or to do anything, because that nothing makes her more angry, you know?
Yeah.
Just that moment where she's like, you don't tell me anything. It was like, oh, God. Yeah. And the other tense moment that happened was when Lisa Rinna and Garcelle were finally like, we're moving on, and they hugged. And Dorit was like, but Garcelle, do you mean it? And Erica goes, just let it be. And Dorit goes, I'm not talking to you. Yeah, it was like, whoa. It was just like, there's like this, you're right, like it's a nastiness in the air, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of with Erica on that one, though. I was like, just let it be. I don't necessarily agree with the way Rinna switched it. I don't know. Even in the conversation we saw this season where Garcelle did break down and talk about, you know, race and how she felt being a part of the group, and they were all celebrating her in that moment of vulnerability, it did feel like she was pushed to say something that maybe she didn't want to say. And it felt like this was another moment. I don't want to say gaslighting, because I know that was a big thing last season, and thing that, you know, Rinna was basically sing-songing about Denise, but it feels like they pushed Garcelle into this corner in this moment. And what else was she going to do when Rinna comes over and sits with her and tries to hug her and is doing this
right.
thing and
She'll
trying
look
to create
like
a
an
moment?
She would look like an asshole if she doesn't accept it.
Right. And I just don't think that that was necessarily fair. But I was also with Erica on that, like, oh God, let's just let it be and let's just move on past this, because it's, I don't think we're getting the resolution we're looking for in this
I just
moment.
Feel like maybe I'm in the minority here. I don't really care if Garcelle and Lisa Rinna are ever friends again. Like, they
oh,
aren't
I'm with you.
They aren't people like, you know, like over the years, Lisa and Kyle, let's say, or like a Ramona and Sonia, where you're just like, oh, come on, you guys are so good when you're together. Like, please work it out. We've never really seen them in such a good place that it was like, oh, I really need these two to be friends again.
Well, exactly. And right now it does seem like the divide in the group is we have Garcelle, Sutton, and Crystal over here, and the rest of them are kind of on the other side of it. And I'm kind of okay with that. I don't think we need Garcelle and Rinna to be friends. I don't think Garcelle owes her anything. Maybe Rinna doesn't owe Garcelle anything. I think it's okay if they're not ever back into a good place.
Right.
You know, I'm kind of with you on that. Well, after all of that, thank goodness we got Kathy in this part of the reunion, because we needed something to lighten the mood.
Right.
I really didn't expect her to guess that they were at her house. I think we all did, right? We all thought
was
she wasn't going to get it.
You know, I also felt like she looked so nervous, and it was very adorable to me.
Yeah, I think it was probably the first moment she actually realized, oh yeah, I've been filming a reality show.
Right.
Like, it's real now.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, there's a video on BravoTV.com of the women getting ready, and Kyle says to says to the producer that Kathy was so nervous, the whole, like, you know, had been texting her like crazy. And Kyle's like, you're going to be okay. Like, you're not even in the hot seat. Don't worry. You know, your moments are going to be super light.
Right. She brought all those receipts. And I'm like, what does Kathy have to address with anyone? You know,
right.
I don't know. Obviously, the Kyle stuff, which I'm not going to lie, I did watch ahead to part two. And
oh, did you?
I did. And there is some good stuff in there, both on the Kathy and Kyle front and on the Erica front. But yeah, I was hoping we'd dig into the Kathy, Kyle, their family history and stuff. And we do get some of that next week. But yeah, I mean, she was a breath of fresh air, I think, throughout the course of this season and also in this part of the reunion, because there was some heavy stuff going on prior.
Right.
Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, what was your rose?
All right, so on the Beverly Hills reunion, I loved it when Lisa Rinna, you know, is making this big show about getting up to go over to Garcelle, and Dorit just says under her breath, she just wanted to show her outfit.
It's so true. It's
yeah.
So true. I do really love when Rinna wears a high pony, too. I think she looks so good.
Yeah. What's your rose?
Okay, my rose is from Watch What Happens Live, last Sunday's episode, Mary M. Cosby and Ashley Darby were the guests. And when Andy was welcoming them back, you know, to the next segment after a commercial break, he's like, I'm here with Mary M. Cosby. And he's like, Mary, what does the M stand for? She goes, my middle name. Turns out it's Martha, but just so on brand for her.
Yeah, exactly.
To just answer the question in the most absurd
right
way.
That's so funny.
What was your thorn?
I had two, and they were both from Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, okay.
So one is just, I felt so sad for Raquel, watching her be so hard on herself, because like, she's not good at, you know, public speaking, and even a stupid like thing like giving a toast she can't do. And it just made me really sad, because the way she was talking about herself, she's such a sweet person, and I wish she was sweeter to herself.
I know.
And the other being that we find out in this episode about Brock's, you know, other kids and how he hasn't seen them in many years.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of with Lala in that, like, that's really hard to swallow. Like, that's you've let that happen, you know? And because I know people's custody situations can be very complicated. But at the same time, I just feel like, don't you just do everything in your power to see those children?
He had to have meant 4 days. He did not mean that he hasn't seen his kids in 4 years. It sounds bad, but there's a lot more to it.
Do you get to FaceTime them and stuff?
No.
No contact.
She caught my whole family out.
I cannot imagine going 4 years without seeing my baby. No contact, but that's not for lack of trying. They're acting like it's not a big deal.
He moved to America to provide a better life for his family.
This is a big deal. What world am I living in?
I know. Well, and just thinking about the long-term effects now that he has a new daughter with Sheena, it's so complicated. But yeah, it's rough.
Yeah. What was your thorn?
Well, my thorn was not nearly as, deep as your thorns were, but it is from Below Deck Med, and it is Chef Matt cracking the yolks on the eggs when he's making breakfast for the charter guests, only because I can relate to that in such a dumb way. Like, I get so frustrated when I'm making breakfast and I have it in my mind, I'm doing an over easy egg, I want the yolk to be perfect. And then you flip it and it cracks and you're just like, it's like starting off your day on the wrong foot, you know? And you're just like, damn it. Like, I just know that feeling.
Now, what are you talking about? That is a super deep thorn.
It is like something I will be talking about with my therapist later today. It's just, I get it. I mean, normally when I see Matt freak out over the things that he freaks out about, I have just, I eye roll. Like, but over that particular thing, I get it. I understand.
All right, we'll be back next week with an all new episode.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.